There's a fight brewing in Congress over upcoming hearings on homegrown Islamic terrorism. The New York Times reports that the new chair of the House Homeland Security Committee, Republican Peter King of New York, plans to call mostly Muslim and Arab witnesses to prove his point that there's little cooperation from Muslims on rooting out homegrown terrorists. But a new study finds that Muslims are the single biggest source of information on potential terrorists, and it also puts domestic terrorism in perspective. 11 Muslim Americans have successfully carried out terrorist attacks since 9/11, killing 33 people, including the 13 killed by the Fort Hood shooter. But there have been about 150,000 murders in the U.S. in that same time. The study's author is Charles Kurtzman. He teaches sociology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He wrote the forthcoming book, The Missing Martyrs, Why There Are So Few Muslim Terrorists. We'll get to that. And he joins us from the news studio of UNC Chapel Hill. So New York Congressman Peter King wants to make his point that he believes that Muslim Americans aren't cooperating in ferreting out homegrown terrorists. What's your assessment of where we are on homegrown Islamic terrorism?
Well, terrorism, of course, is a serious problem, and we need to pursue all efforts through all communities to prevent it. And Muslim American communities have a pretty good track record of helping to prevent radicalization to the point where there have been relatively few incidents of terrorism, very few plots, and about half of the plots where we know the source of information that led to them being uncovered, about half of those plots were uncovered by Muslim American communities themselves.
In fact, critics of Peter King's plan point to a statistic in your study that 48 of 120 Muslims suspected of plotting terror attacks since 9/11 were turned in by fellow Muslims. And the report also found that, what, Muslim Americans are so concerned that sometimes they turn in the good guys?
Yes, there's been a number of these incidents where the authorities have sent in an informant who's starts to talk in radical ways to see if he gets some sort of response. And the local communities have been so alarmed by this kind of talk that they called the local police or the FBI office to turn in the person who turned out to be an informant.
Yeah. Well, and we know that not all terrorists are Muslim. There's Joseph Stack, who flew his plane into the IRS building in Austin, Texas last year. Not a Muslim, terrifying act. And the critics of Peter King's plan also say that if you just concentrate on people who look to you to be terrorist, you know, Arab, for instance, you're looking in the wrong direction. And we're reminded of that this week. Daniel Patrick Boyd is the blonde Muslim convert who's accused of training for a holy war in North Carolina. He heads to court today for a plea hearing. And then there's Jihad Jane. She's the Pennsylvania Muslim convert who pled guilty to being part of that plot to kill a Swedish cartoonist. But your report, did you just look at Muslim Americans?
Yes, this study focused exclusively on Muslim American terrorism suspects and perpetrators. There are, of course, non-Muslim terrorist incidents in the United States as well. But since the public concern has focused so much on Muslims and homegrown terrorism, that's been the focus of our study. To see what is the scale of this? Are we talking about hundreds or thousands of people engaging in this kind of violent plotting, or fewer? It turns out it's really much fewer. Since 9/11, we've identified 161 individuals, Muslim Americans, who have plotted to engage in an act of violence, either in the U.S. or abroad. About half of them had overseas targets, with a view, with an ideology, with a view towards influencing third parties, which is one aspect of the definition that's commonly used for terrorism.
We're talking about homegrown Islamic terrorism. At a congressional hearing today, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano said that the foreign militant groups are increasingly recruiting people in the U.S. to carry out attacks. And as we just heard, the chair of that committee, Republican Peter King of New York, it will be holding hearings next month on the threat of homegrown Islamic terrorism. Charles Kurtzman is a sociology professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and he's a slightly different take. He's also author of the new study, Muslim American Terrorism Since 9/11 and Accounting. His study points out just how rare it is. And Charlie, you found that the number of Muslim Americans engaged in terrorist acts in this country dropped by half from 18 in 2009 to 10 last year. But you also, there's a caveat here. You say that's an aberration, a blip because of 1 year. Why is that?
A large segment of the jump can be attributed to the 2022 individuals who went off to Somalia to join the Shabaab militia there. Since 2009, there's been very few following that route, in part because of the work of law enforcement, of course, and also because of the work of Somali Americans in Minnesota and elsewhere who realized that this was a major problem gripping their community and started to focus more attention on their young people and the grievances they had. The main reason is that Muslims aren't interested in what these violent revolutionaries are selling.
But why have jihadists been able to enlist people like Daniel Patrick Boyd or Jihad Jane from Pennsylvania?
Yes, I think it's scary that they have been. My point is, let's turn around this question of recruitment and ask, you know, since the recruitment material is so widely available on the internet, why are we seeing so few folks joining these groups, to the point where Al-Qaeda and its affiliates are constantly complaining in their publications, "What's wrong with you Muslims? Why aren't you joining us?" They're very upset that the numbers are so low. And they were training several thousand people a year. Now they've been chased into the mountains in northwest Pakistan, tiny camps in Somalia and elsewhere. They're really only able to accommodate a few dozen, maybe a couple hundred recruits at a time. And so they have to rely on the internet. They have to rely on this indirect, homegrown, do-it-yourself kind of terrorist activity. And it turns out there are just not that many takers, and that's a good thing.
So what are you saying, though? Because you began by saying that you feel that this is a serious problem. But then you're also saying, you know, compare it to the number of murders in the U.S. every year, the numbers are small. And yet, back again to it being a serious problem, you know that it would only take one successful attack to change that thinking.
Of course. The figure that there have been 33 fatalities that we can find since 9/11 attributable to Muslim American terrorism, that number would be very different if the Times Square bomber had not been so incompetent. But my point in bringing up the context of the 150,000 murders that have occurred in the United States since 9/11, roughly 15 or 16,000 each year, is that we're talking about a relatively small scale compared to that overall death toll so far. I'm not going to predict the future, but I'd like to think that we can put some of this in perspective, to think, should this be the primary concern of our public security measures, or is it one among many concerns? How many civil liberties, for example, do we want to trade off to prevent and combat this problem? I'd like to make this based on evidence rather than just on fear and speculation, worst-case scenarios.
Well, having done the study, what do you think a committee should be doing in a hearing in March? Right now, again, the plan is to call Muslims and Arabs in to try to show, in the committee chair Peter King's words, that they are not cooperating with law enforcement. Earlier this week at another panel in Washington, Leroy Baca, who's a sheriff of Los Angeles County, said he had cultivated extensive relationships with Muslim leaders. So, you know, we're hearing from law enforcement that that's not the case. What would you like to see at this committee hearing?
I think it's clear that community involvement and participation is crucial to any kind of counterterrorism efforts, just as it's crucial for any kind of policing for all sorts of crimes. I guess I wonder whether these hearings are going to lead to better relations between Muslim Americans and law enforcement, or vilification and hostility and defensiveness, and ultimately worse relations.
What are some of the examples that your report found of just how Muslim Americans are getting tips to people?
Family members worried about a young person acting strangely, saying things that sounded sort of violent. They would call local police. They left tips, sometimes anonymous, sometimes going for an interview with FBI officials. We found that they, in some cases, have made the folks who are radicalizing feel so unwelcome because they are talking in a way that seems reckless and violent, that these individuals who are radicalizing are, in effect, kicked out of the local mosques. There's been quite a bit of effort among Muslim Americans to distance themselves from terrorism, denouncing terrorism, issuing press releases. So when folks say, non-Muslims say, why aren't Muslims speaking up against terrorism? They are. They may not be getting into the news, but they definitely are.
Well, as you said, some so concerned that they even turned in undercover informants. Someone turned in a Facebook friend. I'm just wondering if, in addition to displaying how Mr. King feels that the Muslim community isn't cooperating, maybe highlighting ways in which they are as an example.
A more balanced approach, an approach that would be more effective in getting cooperation, would be to say, let's look at best practices. Let's look at instances where cooperation has worked really well, and let's make sure we have more of that rather than simply focusing on problems. And there have been a few instances where local communities shut their eyes to problems in their midst. But looking ahead, I think it makes more sense to cultivate better relations through positive words and best practices than through wholesale generalizations and focusing on the negative.
Charles Kurtzman, a professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, author of the forthcoming book, The Missing Martyrs, Why There Are So Few Muslim Terrorists. Charlie, thanks.
Thanks very much, Robin.